Welcome to CRA Tips, a series created for CRA practitioners. We know that managing the Community Reinvestment Act program for your financial institution can be challenging, given the plethora of competing priorities. We know you're busy, so we will keep it tight and to the point. The weekly CRA tips are designed to give you something quick to digest in between our CRA webinars, our newsletters, and blog posts. And for those of you who are new to me, I'm Linda Izuka, your host and founder of CRA Today and the CRA Hub. The CRA Hub is an exclusive membership for bankers to master the Community Reinvestment Act and transform disadvantaged communities through the power of economic development. And if you are joining the podcast for the first time or are new to CRA Today, you will find that I'm very passionate about this community development work. So now let's get right to it. Enjoy the tip. Okay, it's time for another question and tip. So I just got off of a fundamentals office hours session where a couple of my students at the CRA fundamentals were asking questions and we were having discussions about current practices around community development services. So one of our CRA professionals asked, "So I'm a little confused," she said, "why in my last bank did we count number of hours of qualified community development services, and this bank now is counting number of occurrences and hours?" So I said, "Well, you're not alone. And yes, it's confusing. And in fact, both of those banks were FDIC regulated. So here is my range of experience. So back when I was doing this more than 20 years ago, I was also with an FDIC bank, and we counted our services by hours, and that's always what we did. Didn't matter about number of occurrences. If an employee volunteered, we would enter it, of course, as an hour or hours, depending on board service, committee service, or one-time events. And we would bring in all the data, and back then it was manual. So yes, I created a spreadsheet. Now we have things like Cadence and other mechanisms to make this so much easier. Anyway, so I had always known we did it by hours, and that made a lot of sense. Year over year, exam period over exam period, we counted community development services. We collected it in various ways, either from our executive management with Reg O surveys or just general intranet forms or on paper. Yes, paper. Community development services forms. Anyway, so going back to my CRA professional's question, she was really a little confused. And I said, "Okay, well, this is what I would do now." And I said, "Go look at your new bank performance evaluation. And this will give you context for her current banks and her last exam and how the examiner then quantified and compiled their community development services." And I said, "When you look at that examiner table, if you will, also then look at the narrative below and see how that examiner or, you know, the team of examiners then documented the quantification and possibly some qualitative elements of their community development service." And so then she went back and looked and she said, "Oh, well, turns out they've always counted it by number of occurrences." And she noted and was interested that they did not count number of hours. And she also reflected that, wow, those number of instances seemed pretty low. So when you're thinking about number of instances, she was like, "Well, is that fair? Because if we all do this event," and she believes that it was counted as this one event would be one instance, "and then all these employees would volunteer, and then the number of hours weren't necessarily counted." So I said, "Well, that's interesting. What you might want to do is to reach out to the regulatory liaison and just really get clear on how they would like to then count instances versus hours and hear what they have to say and maybe give some very specific examples." What they might have been doing before she joined the bank is may be underreporting their community development services. Now, this might confuse some of you because based on my vast CRA Hub membership across all different regulators, the regulators quantify this quite differently. And of course, that's pretty frustrating. But my end recommendation is this. You look at precedents, you look at what has been done in the past for your bank, and then you follow suit. And if you feel like there might be an alternative approach, you might want to have a conversation with your regulatory liaison or keep track of it as you deem appropriate. Maybe that's number of instances, number of employees, and then the total number of hours. And then you can slice and dice it any way that you deem appropriate and want to put it forth for your examiner review, and then be prepared to have a conversation about it. Since there is differences in practices across our regulators, our regions, and our bank's practice, you might want to collect it as you deem appropriate and then have a conversation so that you don't underreport and you might carve a new path forward. There's no harm, no foul if you're having a conversation during an exam and come up with a new approach, and you will have the data waiting, if accepted, to change it going forward. Now, I'm not quite sure why we have some differences across our regulatory bodies or different regions, but that is the case based on my experience. So not a perfect answer, but as most of you know, the CRA is the most subjective consumer compliance regulation. And here, of course, is also a difference in how we comply and report our performance metric with our examiner. So while this is not perfect, this is what we encounter in the wild, as I say, within our CRA program. Well, to wrap it up, I recommend that you see what the bank has done before, come up with a new strategy, if different, and then have a conversation either in between your exams or during an exam, and you are prepared to present the data as you deem appropriate. And then have conversations and see what sticks and then gets reported as your final performance under Community Development Services. Anyway, I hope today was helpful and not just confusing, and that you can carve a path forward for your institution. Until next time, bye for now.
Well, I hope this week's CRA tip was helpful and adds value to you and your CRA program. If you want to take a deeper dive into core concepts of the Community Reinvestment Act and connect with your CRA colleagues, you may want to consider joining the CRA Hub. We go live weekly with CRA-specific activities like core content training, Q&A sessions, challenges, guest speakers, and more. Check out cratoday.com/hub to learn more. Until the next CRA podcast episode, take care of you. Bye for now.